The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, KNSN, DJRD Broadcasting, Crawford Media Group, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
What's coming up on today's experience? Dr. Dave's Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but they make excellent transitions into our teaching, and that's kind of nice. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Keep in mind, the media does an excellent job of transitioning their own narratives. That's what they do. Life lessons for our faith that we could actually use probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Because just like you, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. That process, this question. Have you ever been hurt in fellowship? And does that keep you from opening yourself up to other Christians now and trusting other Bible-believing, born-again Christians? Does that keep you back? Does that keep you away? Even though the Lord wants us to love one another the way that we love ourselves and to be committed to strengthening one another, does being hurt in the past keep you back? That's the question. If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness. That's just sad. You just got to give us a call, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. And when you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jim and Jacob. Talking to Jim and Jacob is like talking to a new friend. That's what it is.
Oh, that's nice.
That's nice, right? That'd be about $350.
Okay, right, right.
There you go. Okay. Also, by the way, if you don't want to, yes, my frog voice seems to be gone. I don't know. It seems like the ribbit went somewhere else. I don't know. You know, Birdie was chasing frogs last night in the backyard, so that could have been it. Anyway, if you call, that's great. If you don't want to call and you want to text, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Not professional voice coming up yet. Once again, 214-210-8483. That's a way that you can text us. Also, you can send us an email. That's always fun. And although yesterday my Chromebook actually flickered. which is very scary because the hinges work, but when it starts flickering and then it goes off, the email thing will become hard. But in the meantime, you can still do it. David@HeMustIncrease.org. That's David@HeMustIncrease.org. And I'll send you up to the website as we always do. On the website are praise reports where you can fill out those praise reports. I keep forgetting to print the one off that somebody sent me. I really apologize. I will get to that. Also, prayer requests are on the praise are on the website. Additionally, October buddies, which means you hear people, you're listening to the show, you hear somebody's voice, and you be sensitive to the Lord, and that's a person you can pray for and mention in prayer throughout the month of October. It's just a great idea to do. Plus, on the website are a couple of pretty key interviews that I've done over the years. Some of them are really challenging, and I hope you'll check that out. Also, a place to give and partner with our ministry. Our scripture for partnering today, it says this, 2 Corinthians 8:3, for I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord. So we would encourage you to give if the Lord puts it on your heart and be a partner with us. And if not, pray for us. We could use that entirely. Check it all out on HeMustIncrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
Is that how it felt like the very first time you did the show for like the first 5 minutes?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
I was trying to figure out where that's from.
I have no idea, but it certainly sounds, we're going to have to ask Jennifer. It sounds like a computer, like droid thing that just fell apart.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking too.
That's what it sounds like to me. So we'll find out from the authority. That's amazing, Jen. She's the authority. Don't forget to be in prayer. We got a massively cool message coming up tomorrow. And by the way, if you are right now in San Diego listening on KBRT, KBRT 1240, if you're listening on KBRT, it's 11:38. And if you are here in Dallas, it's 1:38 and 5 seconds. On KAAM 770, we encourage you to call, to text, or to send an email, but we're going right into the material. We are in Matthew. We are in the 13th chapter, and we're dealing with parables, and there's this really cool part, and I'm going to borrow somebody else's material on this teaching of it, but first I'm going to read it because that's the best of the best. Here we go in Matthew chapter 13, and this starts off at verse 33, and it says the following. Jesus also used this illustration. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast used by a woman making bread. Even though she used a large amount of flour, the yeast permeated every part of the dough. And actually, in that large amount, that's three measures. So, they'll say it again. Jesus used this illustration. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast used by a woman making bread. Even though she used three measures of flour, the yeast permeated every part of the dough. Wow, what does that mean? Before we go into what that means, I want to talk about this particular element. Here's another parable. And you know we're in Matthew 13, so we're in the land of parables. It says this story talks about a woman who is cooking with yeast. The parable is about yeast. And you're saying, Dave, now wait, Dave, are you saying that this parable, Jesus is using a woman to illustrate when it was a man society? And the answer is yes, yes, and yes. First of all, that's so ridiculous to think, even in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, that women were not important. That could be, of all statements in Christianity, kind of a dumb one if people are actually believing that. And it's not true biblically in any capacity because God made his greatest creation when he made Adam, the natural creation, he made greatest one, and then he went one step better and made Eve. So there's no way in the world that it's biblically correct. Not only that, but Miriam and just think about Moses and Aaron and their sister Miriam. They were all together, relatives all together in charge. And many times throughout the scriptures do great phenomenal women take the lead. And here's Jesus teaching a story using a woman as illustration. Because why? Because his truths are directed at every class and every gender of the two genders. So in truth, Jesus was the one who brought the greatest sense of community to humanity. I think that's just amazing. But here I want you to pick this up. Now, I'm taking this from the ESV Bible notes. It's one of my 26 Bible studies that I have these notes on. So I just want you to listen to what they say, because I think this one says it the best. In regards to Matthew 13:33, it says this: Jesus used the metaphor of leaven, which usually has a negative connotation in Scripture, but he's using it here to symbolize the positive, hidden permeation of the kingdom of heaven into this world. The kingdom is indeed active, though not fully visible. And that's the process that they're talking about when Jesus talks about the leaven working into the dough. And because of that, it begins an inner transformation in the heart. Three measures, by the way, was 39 liters, probably about 50 pounds, and that would have produced enough bread to feed about 100 people. That's not the point of the parable. The point of the parable is the kingdom of God works in such a way that it does transformation on the inside of each one of us. When you said yes to Jesus, there was this weird thing that happened. You started to hear and to see and to know that it's not all about what the naked eye consumes. And then all of a sudden, you became alive to spiritual truths. And what's amazing is that process happened. And what do you know for sure? When that process happened, guess what? It didn't happen in one moment, and then there was no more growing, and that was it. It happened, and then step by step, inch by inch, place by place, growth by growth, the kingdom of God permeated into your life. It's still permeating into your life today. Even if you've been a Christian for 5 years, 5 weeks, 5 months, 5 years, 50 years, or 75 years, the kingdom of God is still penetrating into you, just like the yeast moving through the dough. And it's not always visible, but it's impacting all of it. Isn't that just cool? That, from that little parable, you gotta be kidding. It's so cool. Now, again, I want to bring this up. Why did Jesus use parables? Well, part of this, he even says, and we're going to read this real quickly, is to fulfill the prophecy of the Psalms, and specifically Psalm 78, verse 2. And I want you to be aware of something, because this part is important to grasp, and people don't like this when Jesus says this, but in verse 34, it says, Jesus always used stories and illustrations like this when speaking to the crowds. In fact, he never spoke to them without using such parables. This fulfilled the prophecy that said, I will speak to you in parables. I will explain mysteries hidden since the creation of the world. Now, Dave, hold on now, Dave. Are you saying that Jesus spoke things hidden from the very beginning? Hold on there, Dave Areno. Are you saying that Jesus spoke in parables to communicate his truths without explaining each one to every person who listened? I wish I was saying that, but I'm not. God is. I'm not the one saying that. God is the one who's saying that. That's what I want you to get. God is the one saying, I'm telling everybody, but not everybody's listening. I'm reaching out to everybody, but they're not all responding. I'm trying to touch and let every person know, but they won't all say yes. That's what Jesus is communicating. And so he tells them, he speaks to them, and he wants to make sure they're hearing, but not everybody is going to listen to it. They're not always going to get it. That he's speaking, what's amazing about this, that we don't talk about this, rest, but in his parable teaching, he's fulfilling the prophecy of Psalm 78, verse 2. It's like, wow, that's so cool. There's so many prophecies that Jesus fulfilled, so many things that he accomplished, so many things that he did that no person can do. I do like some of the material that comes from apologetics that talks about the absolute impossible odds for any one man to have fulfilled as many prophecies as Jesus did. It is astronomically bigger than anything you could imagine. It's huge. And yet Jesus fulfilled all of them. Now, let's slow it down for a second because we're going to do our trivia. Now, if you're in San Diego, don't be a chicken. Wait, is there a chicken in San Diego? Didn't there used to be a chicken? Didn't there used to be a mascot, the chicken, San Diego chicken? I think there was. Don't be a chicken. There was, long time ago. Here's the bottom line. Here's your trivia question. If you're in Dallas, don't be a chicken. Wait, Dallas doesn't do chicken. What does Dallas do? Don't be what? What is Dallas not good at? Driving the speed limit. Don't drive the speed limit. Go past it. No, I'm kidding. I'm not saying that for real. Here it is. How long did the Hebrews wander through the desert? 20, 30, or 40 years? How long did the Hebrews wander through the desert? 20, 30, or 40 years? If you think you know the answer, you can call us at 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Those are the things that you can do. We do have somebody calling in. Keep in mind that this is a question that's open for people to answer, and we're not trying to create any problems. We're trying to just tell you, look, you need to know and know and know and then know again what the deal is in regards to our history. So we do have somebody that's ready. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to? Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hello, David. This is Stephen.
Hello, Stephen. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you, sir?
I'm doing a lot better because I don't have the frog in my throat that I had yesterday, so I feel better.
Where'd it go?
I think Bert got it in the backyard. That's what I'm going with. What do you think? That's not bad, huh?
That works. You got 40 years to find it.
Oh, there it is! He drops it! Ding, ding, ding! You got 40 years to find it! That's genius, my brother. Genius way to put that in there. Did you call knowing you were going to do that, or that just came to you and you just dropped it right there?
I think I said it on accident.
That's a mic drop, dude. That's a really good one. Excellent job, by the way. Very good, my brother.
Glad I could make you smile.
You did. You definitely did, and I appreciate that.
It's interesting how often the number 40 is used.
Incredible, right? It is absolutely outstanding. People, if you do a study on 40, you will just be like going, what? It is amazing. Amazing. Excellent job, bro.
You have a blessed day.
All right, you too. Bye-bye. All right, what a great, great call. He's so funny. Okay, let's go back to the text. You can tell I'm feeling it today. You better just like, I don't know what's going to happen. Doesn't matter. Just follow along. Here we go. Now, Jesus is going to explain, and we talked about this 2 weeks ago, the parable about the wheat and the weeds. And so I'm going to get people's going to kind of freak out on this. Please don't freak out. Just listen. Accept what you can accept or use what you can use to draw you closer to the Lord, because that's really all we're looking to do is help you draw one step closer to the Lord. Let's pick it up in verse 36. Then, leaving the crowds outside, Jesus went into the house. Okay, people, he did have a house by which he operated in. When he said, I have nowhere to lay my head, that was because he was going into a new territory. You just got to read it. It's just right there in front of you. It's right there. All right, anyway, so as we're leaving the crowds, Jesus went into the house. The disciples said, please explain the story of the weeds in the field. All right, he said. I, the Son of Man, am the farmer who plants the good seed. Okay, so what do we know? Jesus is interpreting. What's more important than anybody else putting anybody's spin on it? If Jesus tells you what it means, that's what it means. Okay, it's just as simple as can be. It's like, okay. And so he says, I'm the farmer. So just for now, just who's the farmer in the story of the parable that Jesus gave regarding the wheat and the weeds? Well, the farmer is Jesus. Okay. I, the son of man, am the farmer who plants the good seed. The field is the world. And the good seed represents the people of the kingdom. Okay, any questions on any of that? So pretty straightforward. Jesus is the farmer. The field is the world. And the good seed are the people of the kingdom of God. The weeds are the people who belong to the evil one. Okay? I just want to say this real quickly. Again, for the 3,000th time in Scripture, not every human being is a child of God. I just cannot express that enough because Jesus expressed it multiple times. Listen to what he says. The people, the weeds are the people who belong to the evil one. Get it? Verse 39, the enemy who planted the weeds among the wheat is the devil.
No, there's no real devil.
Well, then Jesus is a liar, so pick. Okay? Just that simple. So now you've got the players are at hand. And then finally he says this, the enemy planted the weeds among the wheat is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And the harvesters are the angels. Now I want you to get this real quickly and not freak out. Just listen, okay? You've got Jesus as the farmer. You've got the field is the world. You got the good seed represents the people of the kingdom. You got the weeds, which are people who belong to Satan. The enemy is Satan himself. The harvest is the end of the world, and the harvesters are the angels. There is no question about any of that. Just stop. There's nothing. Okay. See Dick run. See Jane run. Okay. Got it. Verse 40. Just as the weeds are separated out and burned, so it will be at the end of the world. The Son of Man will send my angels, and will send my angels, and they will remove from my kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. And they will throw them into the furnace and burn them. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the godly will shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom. Anyone who's willing to hear should listen and understand. Jesus is explaining the parable. Now, this is the part that amazes me. And then there are people who say they are Bible believers, and they say, well, there's not going to be a fire. It's like, okay. You see, here's Jesus explaining it, going, okay, here's what's going to happen. I, the Son of Man, I'm going to send the angels. We're going to remove from the kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil, and we're going to throw them into the furnace and burn them. Well, that's symbolic. He's explaining it. It's just like you can't say that any different. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the godly will shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom. Anyone who's willing to hear should listen and understand. So let's go into two real big compartments because I'm limited on time. Now, we move into this explanation of the parables, and we understand that is this something that stands against the narrative of pre-tribulation rapture? Nope, not entirely. Does it help others understand that not every theological, eschatological system is perfect? Yes. What this does not say is that it does not say there will be no millennium. It doesn't say any of that, okay? But what it does say is, in God's mind, without any removals, he's going to ultimately remove everybody else that's not shining. Does that mean that everybody should stop acting like they know exactly how it's going to go down? Oh, from that statement to God's ears would be so awesome. Because the bottom line is, if we're arguing for the events of end times, this is where people go, well, see, there's no, you know, it's the rapture, but it's rapture to bad people. I got it. I'm hearing everybody's argument. I hear it before you even say it. Stop. Just listen. It's one will remain, one will be taken. But does that mean that the good get taken or the bad get taken? Then you use this parable, and that's why people differ. And you know what? That's fine. It's not a problem. The key, as far as I'm concerned, is God made it absolutely clear that there is inevitable distinction between sheep and goats. That's what you got to get. There's inevitable distinction between the wheat and the weeds. You see, animals are going to grow more discontent the closer we get to the time, because they know their redemption's getting closer. They're starting to flip out. The division between people will increase, and there'll be more separation between the people of God and the people of the world. And this will not be political. It will be between the children of God and those who are not children of God. And what this teaches, without anybody fighting in an eschatological argument, is the distinction between the saved and the unsaved, the sheep and the goat, the wheat and the weeds, the good fish and the bad fish, is going to get so specific, there will be no question as to who is on what side. That is part of this process that everybody's going through. This started at the birthing of the church, and it will end when the Lord says it's done. So before you get into an eschatological, I'm really smart, I know everything about eschatology mode, catch the picture. Jesus is going to separate the wheat from the weeds. That's the issue. Get that? All right. Now, if you're in San Diego, you can keep listening to the show. We got some phenomenal stuff coming up. You just go to hemustincrease.org and click on Listen Live, or get the KAAM app, or keep listening on your station there at K-Brite for great, great radio. If you're here in Dallas, you just got to hang out as we get ready. We're going to take a short break and then come back.
Have you ever wanted to get involved with a ministry that promotes Jesus Christ as Lord, but just don't know how? Serving in ministry is a matter of devotion, time, and talent. Are you looking for a place to try and test the waters? Do you want to get involved? Come join the Ambassadors Initiative. Be an ambassador for the David Spoon Experience. It doesn't pay great. Actually, it doesn't pay anything. But the eternal benefits are out of this world. Be a representative. Why not? It couldn't hurt. Well, we hope not anyway. You don't need to be a professionally qualified minister. You need to have a pulse. By that, we mean you need to have a heart. Just go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Click on the three lines at the top right of the website and then click on the Ambassadors Initiative link. Fill out the form and we will reach out to you. Sorry. No parking tickets will be paid for you as an ambassador through this position.
The David Spoon Experience.
So in this position, I have the opportunity to interview people, and have so for the last 5 years, from all across the range of Christianity, from authors and from actors and musicians. We are about to have an opportunity we've never had on this show. We actually have Lee Strobel on the phone with us. It was 19 years ago, I believe, this September 1st, where his book came out, The Case for Christ. If you're Jewish like I am and then became a Christian, that was when you went, oy vey. This book was a life changer for many, and now it's a movie. Lee, are you there on the phone with us?
I am, David. How you doing, my friend?
I am doing fantastic. Thrilled to have you on the show. It's
Thank you. My privilege.
I just got to start. I know they give you a list of questions just so you can know, Lee. I never use them. So
good for you.
It's like, come on. I want to tell you, we're brothers here in the Lord. Talk to me. First of all, you wrote this book, The Case for Christ. Let's first talk about the writing of the book, and then we'll talk about that connection to the movie. Why did you write this book?
Well, I didn't start out to do that. I mean, I was an atheist. My wife became a Christian. So in order to try to rescue her from this Christian cult, I decided to use my journalism training and legal training and disprove Christianity to show that the resurrection never really happened. Of course, I ended up coming to the opposite conclusion and ended up coming to faith. But I did this investigation for my own edification, for my own education, not because I wanted to write a book. And then it was actually later my wife said to me, hey, you ought to write a book about that. I said, really? And she said, sure. So that's how the book came about.